wireless mic, so maybe we can just go with the pulpit mic here tonight. I forgot also to mention prayer for my wife, who's not feeling well still, and so appreciate your prayer for her. Eva was sick. My wife and Eva were both sick with the stomach flu all day yesterday, and Eva's feeling a lot better, but my wife is still down with it, and so just pray for her. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43. Sure, I'll put it on. Genesis 43. Okay, I have the wireless mic now, so I'll turn it on. Now I can run around the building, and you can hear me. All right, Genesis 43. We left Joseph talking to his brothers, and for the first time in many, many years, Joseph comes face to face with his brothers. And in chapter 42, we saw how God began to bring about conviction in the life of Joseph's brothers. We see the different ways that God did that. And we left them in chapter 42. They were on their way home, and they looked in their sacks, and lo and behold, there was their money had been returned to them. And really, it was an act of kindness that Joseph showed towards them, but what it became for Joseph's brothers was a means by which God brought further conviction to them and to help them become aware of their sin. And so the famine was still in the land, and we pick up here in Genesis 43, and I'm going to read a portion of this chapter here. Genesis 43, beginning in verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee. And set him before thee, and then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother, Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. The men took the present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home. And slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. For your God and the God of your father hath given your treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought out Simeon unto them. We'll stop reading there. A week or so ago, I was at Lillian's school, and they had a special parent day at her school. And as part of the day, they had some presentations from some of the things that the older kids had done at a local science competition in Knox County. There was a STEM Fest, is what it's called. They have different competitions relating to science. And so they were giving a demonstration as part of this parent day science fair type thing. And one of the things that they were demonstrating was the process of water purification. And they had some kids up there in a row, and they went through all the steps that had to be taken to purify some dirty pond water to the point where they could drink it, and it was drinkable water. I'll take a drink right now. And so it started on one end, and they had different ways that they filtered the water. And they poured it through some sort of filter. There was some chemicals that they added to it, a little bit way down the line. You know, they put some bleach in it, and then they put something else in to help get rid of the bleach taste so you could actually drink it. But it was showing the process that had to be gone through to remove the impurities in that water and to filter them out. As we look at this chapter here tonight, I think we can see God dealing with Joseph's brothers, with Jacob, and even with Joseph, and applying a filter to their lives. And as we see God doing that, perhaps the filter of his discipline, as we see him applying that filter to their lives, we see what comes out. What is it that's brought to the surface that needs to be removed from their life, or that perhaps doesn't need to be removed? And so I want you to consider these three characters here in this story of Joseph, true story. And we see, first of all, the filter of discipline applied to Jacob's life. The filter of discipline applied to Jacob's life. And then we'll look at Joseph's life, what we see when God applies the filter to his life. And then we see, finally, the brothers themselves and what we see when God applies that filter of discipline to their life. So we start off with Jacob. He really comes to the forefront at the beginning of the chapter. And we see how God applied that filter to Jacob and what he used to do that. We're reminded in verse 1 that the famine was sore in the land. God applies the filter to Jacob through the means of physical need. And that famine is affecting a lot of different people, but it's affecting Jacob. It's affecting his family. And God is passing Jacob through this filter, and we see what comes out. We see the difficult choice that he has to make here. We learned that in chapter 42, Joseph saw his brothers. He didn't reveal himself to them. But he finds out that they have another brother. That's because he knows they have another brother. He knows who it is. And he wants to see that other brother. And so he makes that stipulation, you can't come back from food unless you bring your brother Benjamin here. And so this is a difficult thing that Jacob has to work through. He doesn't want to see Benjamin taken away, and then maybe he won't see Benjamin again. But God is applying that filter to Jacob's life. But I want you to see what it reveals in Jacob. What it reveals in Jacob. And notice verse 6 here. Israel, remember that's Jacob's new name. Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? Here I think we see Jacob, the old Jacob, coming out. And remember, Jacob is the one who is a sly guy. He's a little bit of a deceiver. And so right away he thinks, why did you have to even tell them? You didn't have to tell that information. And he's mad about it. But notice what he's really mad about here in verse 6. Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me? See, the thing that comes out here as God applies this filter to Jacob's life is we see that at this time, it's all about Jacob in Jacob's life. When God passes Jacob through his filter of discipline, we see what comes out at this time is the self-centeredness of Jacob. His family is in need. They need food. There's a lot of people that are dealing with severe difficulty. And here's Jacob, and all he's thinking about is, why have you dealt so ill with me? We see his self-centeredness. But then I want you to know how, see how the filter restores Jacob. And we see the solution to Jacob's self-centeredness. We see him being brought to the point where in verse 11, he agrees, if it must be so now, do this. And he tells him what to do. How does he deal with that self-centered? How does God allow him to deal with that? We see that the first way he deals with that is by coming to the place where he's willing to give up those things. He's willing to give up himself, first of all, but he's also willing to give up and give a gift. He sends the brothers back with a gift. All these delicacies maybe they didn't have in Egypt, you know, the honey, the nuts, the other things that are mentioned here in verse 11, and he gives those things up, and then most of all, he gives up Benjamin. He gives up Benjamin. How was he able to do that? I think we see that from verse 14. He says, God Almighty, give you mercy before the man. The way that Jacob was able to overcome his self-centeredness here, and the way that everybody here in this chapter is able to overcome the problems in their life is with trusting God. Jacob comes to the point where he's able to trust God. He's trusting God's character, God Almighty. El Shaddai is the word here, the God of power. And Jacob has to come to the place where he can put his trust in God's power, in the fact that he can't control the situation now, and he's got to turn everything else to God. And we see him surrendering to the will of God here. And we see there in verse 14, he says, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Some people would see that Jacob here is just resigning to despair if that comes, and perhaps he is. But what he needed to do, and what I hope that he was doing here, is surrendering to the will of God. Whatever God's will is, let it be done. Surrendering to the will of God. So Jacob, we see the filter applied on his life, and we see his own selfishness coming out. Why have you dealt so ill with me? And we see God dealing with him and leading him to the point where he can now leave it in God's hands and be willing to give up what he holds so precious at this time in his life. So the filter of discipline on Jacob's life. Now let's consider the filter of discipline on Joseph's life. What does Joseph's life reveal at this time? And the question to ask here is, what doesn't it reveal in Joseph's life? We see the filter applied to Joseph. And really, the filter of discipline has been applied to Joseph since he was 17 years old. God has been at work at him with him for a long time. The time when his brothers sold him into slavery, and then he's in Potiphar's house, and then he's falsely accused, thrown into prison for a couple years, and then God brings him out. And now we see that something has happened, which is a test. God is testing Joseph, and I have a picture of how he's doing that. Here, after 20 years, Guess who's back in the presence of Joseph? His brothers, the people that mistreated him. And how is he going to respond to his brothers that sold him into slavery, that hurt him? He's face to face with them. What's he going to do? What is that filter going to reveal? We see that that filter reveals Joseph, just like it revealed Jacob. It reveals Joseph. Now, we would expect a man who's in this position, as I've said already many times, we'll see already all throughout this account of Joseph's life, but we would expect to find a very bitter and resentful man. Here are the people that hurt him, and he's face to face, and now he's going to get even. But that's not Joseph. That's not Joseph. He's not a bitter man. And instead of that bitterness, what do we find? What does the filter reveal? We see in verses 15 through 18, Joseph's kindness. Verse 15 tells us they took the present down. And then verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." We see Joseph's kindness. Joseph, as soon as he sees them, he says, "They're coming over to my house right now. You go get the lunch ready. We're having lunch. And we're going to show some Egyptian hospitality to these people." And he's kind to them. Right away, he tells his servant, "You go and you kill the cow, and we're going to have hamburgers. All right, have a big barbecue. It doesn't say that in the text, but he's going to make lunch for them. We see the kindness of Jacob. He doesn't wait for them to make the first move. Well, let's see how they're going to react. No, he invites them over. Have kindness to them. And then we didn't read all the way to the end of the chapter here, but if you jump ahead to verse 26, they all come over to Joseph's house, and Joseph sees Benjamin, and he asks him, verse 27, "Is your father well?" And they say, "Yes, he is." And he sees Benjamin, he blesses him. And then we see verse 30, "Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. He washed his face and went out, refrained himself, and said, 'Set on bread.'" We see again Joseph's tender spirit. The filter reveals Joseph's kindness, not his bitterness. It reveals his tender spirit towards his brothers, not his desire for revenge. He's overcome when he sees them. We see Joseph's sensitive heart. And this is a miracle, really, of God's grace. It's a miracle that Joseph would be taken to Egypt, to idolatrous Egypt, which does not serve the one true living God. And yet, even in the midst of that, he remains faithful to God. God preserves him there. He maintained his faith. He maintained his right attitude towards his brothers. God brought that about in his life. So we see the filter of discipline on Joseph's life, and we see that it reveals his lack of bitterness, his lack of bitterness. I would mention again the reason that that was possible was because, it had to be because, Joseph was a believer in God. Joseph did not allow his faith to be shaken from his firm belief in the providence of God, that everything that was happening in Joseph's life was at the design and will of God. And instead of being resentful over that, instead of being bitter over that, he chose to believe in God and to trust that his will was best. And that made him a kind and tender person, somebody who truly believes the will of God. So the filter applied to Joseph's life. And then the third group of characters in this story are the brothers. The brothers. I want you to consider how the filter of discipline is applied to the brothers' life. Brothers of Joseph. Let's see if I can put that here again. But we see that it was applied in several different ways. Chapter 42 tells us about the unusual refund of money in their grain sacks. And they're still concerned about that. Chapter 42 also told us about the treatment of Joseph. Chapter 43, here, this chapter we're considering tonight, we find Joseph's unusual treatment of the brothers. He invites them over to his house. And when they're over to his house, they are afraid. They're thinking, what is this guy going to do to us? He knows about the money that we have. What's he going to do? But we see at the end of the chapter, if you look at what happens when they sit down to lunch, verse 33 says, they sat before him the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled at one another. How did he know that? Remember, they don't know who Joseph is, and yet they're sitting according to their birth order. What in the world? What's going on? They're marveling. And then what happens in verse 34, he took and sent messes unto them before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. So this unusual treatment of Joseph on their second visit, God applies this filter to the brothers. We see what it reveals. See what it reveals. It reveals something as they deal with Joseph's steward here. And verses 19 through 20, we read that. But they come to the steward of Joseph, Joseph's servant, and they explain what's happened. Listen, we have this money, and we don't know where it came from, and we just want you to know that. And the steward says, calm down, don't worry about it. But what do we see in the lives of the brothers here? I think we see the brothers are dealing with their dishonesty. The brothers are dealing with their dishonesty. There was a time in the life of these brothers that they tried to cover up what they knew. When they sold Joseph into slavery, you remember the cover-up to their father? Here's his coat. We don't know what happened. It looks like a wild animal must have eaten Joseph. I don't know. Well, that wasn't true. That was a lie. But now we see, many years later, the brothers are very concerned that they're completely honest. Listen, hey, we have this money. We don't know where it came from. We want to tell you that. We want to make sure we're right here. We see God dealing with them. And we see something good. They're dealing with that. They're dealing with that dishonesty. And then we see that they are also full of anxiety. They are full of anxiety. Verse 23 again, the steward says, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. They're full of anxiety. The filter reveals that. But we see that the steward somehow knew that God was working in their lives. Perhaps Joseph had been a witness to this man. I don't know. Somehow he knew that God was working. Though they had sinned greatly, God had not abandoned them. God was helping them. And that's what these men needed to know. God is working in your life. There may have been something really bad that's happened in the past, but God's working in your life. God's still there for you. God's still going to help you. And that man communicates that truth to these people. And then we see one final thought as we see the treatment of Benjamin. We see in verse 34 that Benjamin was given five times as much food as any of the rest of them. Now, I don't know what happens in your house when someone's given more food than someone else, but what happens in our house when someone is giving more food is sometimes not too pretty, okay? And, hey, I need more macaroni and cheese. My glass only has this much in it. I want more. They have more. You know, there was a time in the lives of these brothers that preferential treatment of their brother Joseph really bothered them. Remember the coat of many colors? Jacob gives Joseph the coat of many colors. And oh, that makes the brothers really mad. They can hardly stand to even look at Joseph. And that leads them to capture Joseph, throw him in the pit. They're jealous. Joseph is testing his brothers. All right, let's see how my brothers are dealing with their jealousy. There's five times as much food for Benjamin. I want to see how they're dealing with that. They're dealing with it a lot better now. It's a lot better now. They're dealing with their jealousy. I read a news story this week. Maybe you saw it in the paper. And I don't know if it was recently or some time ago, but there was a woman who killed her children because she was jealous of the amount of attention that her husband paid toward her children and not towards her. That's horrible. But the fact is that jealousy can lead to real problems. And how do you handle it when someone else gets more attention than you get? When your sister gets a little more attention than you get? Or when your brother gets a little something more special than you got? How do you handle that? Some people handle it by throwing a fit. Ah, stop. That's not fair. Some people handle it maybe in other ways. I'm going to get even with them. How do we handle that when someone else gets preferential treatment? The brothers were handling it a lot better. They're dealing with their jealousy. Dealing with their jealousy. How are they able to do that? Same way that Jacob is able to deal with his self-centeredness, the same way that Joseph was able to deal with getting past his resentment and bitterness in his life, and that is by believing that God is at work in their lives and that God knows the best thing for them. And that may be that somebody else gets five times as much. Maybe that you get just one portion. But if we believe that God is truly in control, that God has a perfect plan, we don't have to become jealous about what they received that we didn't. Because what God does is right. So God may apply His filter to your life. And as God does that, what is it that comes out? Is it self-centeredness? It's all about me. Is it bitterness and resentment? Is it dishonesty? Is it jealousy? Or is it something else? And have you dealt with those things? Have you dealt with those things? How do you deal with those things? First of all, you need to see the sin that there is in those things and confess it to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to do that. And then we need to look to Jesus Christ. We need to believe that God's will is best and let Him deal with the problems and filter those things out of our lives. And He uses all different kinds of circumstances and ways to do that. But we need to do that. He wants to reveal those things to us. And we need to rely on the Lord to help us to deal with whatever comes out when He passes that filter through our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this account of what happened in the life of Joseph and with his brothers and with their father. We know that You were dealing with them. We know that You deal with us. And so we pray that You would help us all to allow You to deal with these issues in our lives. Pray that we would be sensitive, even as Joseph was sensitive, maintain the sensitive heart. And we pray that You would help us to be right with You as we leave here tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals as we close.